Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
We are here. We're back. This is episode 6 of the Complex Sneakers podcast. I'm here with my guy, Matt Welty.
How's it going?
And my man, Brendan Dunn.
That's right. I am very much back on my bullshit. I ate trail mix for lunch today.
Go ahead, King.
That's when you know I'm in grind mode. Yep. We don't even step outside of the office. We
like just hunter and gatherer.
Get a cup of trail mix. And this is a throwback.
A little known Brendan Dunn fact. When he first started working at Soul Collector / Complex, he was known for keeping a box of Clif Bars.
Yeah.
At his desk and would just like pound those things
just
throughout
to stay
the day.
Efficient.
I get it.
While blogging.
Also, for the audience, this is a fact. How many days a week do you and I at least eat ramen noodles? At least two or three for lunch?
Yeah.
We're grinding over here.
Yeah.
It's not all glamorous, big budget, traveling to LA. No, we're grinding. We're eating ramen noodles, literally ramen noodles for lunch a lot.
Very much back on my bullshit.
I welcome it. So we have a topic today. A couple weeks ago, we did the best collaborator of the year in sneakers. And now we are doing the end of the year wrap up, a perfect time to discuss all the sneakers, the hits and misses. And Complex recently put out the top 10 sneakers of the year.
Mm-hmm.
And we did it at ComplexCon. And I think our lists are all different.
Yeah.
So
I have to admit, though, that like this is been at Complex now, started freelancing interning like 2012, so mm-hmm. and then came on full time in 2013. But this was literally the thing I used to dread the most.
Why?
The year end sneaker list?
Yeah.
Why?
No, sitting in the room with Joe and all that, and like the arguments, it would never just be
did
like, hey,
we argue a lot though?
Yes, it would always, okay. But it would be like a clashing of like, I thought this shoe, like our taste was just so different.
So mm-hmm. different.
So different that you, like, there were certain things that, like, you know, you would want on the list, and mm-hmm. there's certain things that, you know, we would like, and they'd have a hard time like meeting in
definitely
in the middle. And it's like, and I know you always had the last say on it, so it was like,
but it's changed since then. I think it's been more democratic now.
Yeah.
And we have a bigger team, and I think everyone's kind of, everyone's vantage point is heavily weighed versus those years where.
I think we have like a better process though too, because back then it was just like, is this shoe hot or not? I like it. And we're like, dude, it's just another color of a retro.
I'm glad we're doing this episode because I think it's so important to have these conversations in public. These lists come out and people are like, why did this happen? Why is that so high? Where is this shoe? And so I really like to kind of pull back the curtain on that and let people know how we feel about these individual shoes, how we weigh them against each other. You know, one of the moments you mentioned that this happens is also at ComplexCon.
Right.
So it's always cool to have these debates public and let people know.
So do you guys want to read Complex's top 10 and dissect it, or how do we want to do this?
I think we should just get right into it, start at number 10, right? And we can talk about, you know, as we go through stuff that we thought was left out, stuff that we think personally maybe too high. And again, this isn't our personal top 10.
Right.
This isn't the shoes we wore the most. These aren't the shoes we like the best. These are the shoes that I think had the most impact, were the biggest, and were actually good.
And there's definitely some differences between the ComplexCon list and this list, which I think will make for good talking points today.
Yeah, so we're reflecting again. We're going off the latest Complex sneakers, top sneakers of 2019 list.
And that list released on Wednesday, December 18th, for anyone who wants to follow along.
Number 10 is the Nike Adapt BB. Welty, was it you who said that people were kind of booing the inclusion of this shoe
at
ComplexCon?
And I wrote in the blurb, and I'll hold no punches on this. That was the dumbest thing that I saw on the panel.
People not appreciating it.
If you can't understand, I'm not even a Nike guy, not a basketball guy. If you don't understand why an auto-lacing basketball sneaker, the first of its kind, is one of the 10 most important or best sneakers of the year, I just don't know what to tell you. If you're like arguing that another color of a retro sneaker is a better sneaker of the year,
right?
over an auto-lacing basketball sneaker? I think that that's like one of the arguments that we had. And the one point that I remember getting the most frustrated was, Joe, in 2013, and I think this was a big argument. You remember the panel when it was like Ronnie, rest in peace, Gary Warnett, Nick DePaul, all them.
We used to do the videos here.
Yeah. And on the website, we ended up ranking the Black and Royal ones as the sneaker of the year. And I remember Gary Warnett, how can a retro just
be? That's always the topic of conversation. How can retros be on there? And it's something that people kind of have gripes with year in and year out.
But don't you have to rank like a new innovative shoe as like more important?
I believe so. And I think part of the reason why people don't necessarily rank the Adapt BB too high is because it wasn't super visible in terms of people wearing it. Like it wasn't out on the streets as much as any given Jordan retro, I don't think.
Right.
But I'm still with you in that it should be included. I mean, look, this is a performance basketball shoe that delivers on the dream of the Nike Mag. The Nike Mag is an iconic shoe that people dreamed about for decades, becoming a reality, became a reality, but by that time, the idea of it was kind of outdated or didn't really have a home in a specific sport. And even when the Hyper Adapt came out, a shoe that was even more performance-based in 2016, it wasn't like a real sports shoe. Nobody was actually playing sports in it. This is the fruition of that dream.
And that's the thing. This technology, where I appreciate the Adapt BB, is that it went from a cosmetic technology to actually a functional technology where Tatum is wearing him on court. Kyle Kuzma, before the Puma deal, was wearing him on court. That means for a pro basketball player to wear self-lacing technology on court, they have to be top tier innovation, where I think the models that came before this with the self-lacing was heavily cosmetic and heavily more kind of techie
statement
review at unboxing type of thing. This was, hey, you could play in this, and for a sneaker to come that far, to have professional athletes playing in it, And it having self-lacing technology, I think that's why it kind of deserves to be on this list for sure.
And I think the shoe just looks great. I know Welty's going to clown on me for talking about like the
No, go for it.
The arrangement of the swoosh, but like something about the branding on it feels somewhere between cartoony and tech, to where it's like it's communicating almost the idea that this is something we dreamed about when we were kids, but is now legitimate.
Yes.
The swoosh is kind of bubbly and looks like something you would draw on your notebook, like with a Sharpie.
Well, the one knock on it, I know that Clark Kent had said the reason why he doesn't fuck with it is because he doesn't like shoes without laces.
But that's the future, right?
I will tell you who loved it. Long Island Facebook. I did a video of it. People reacted. People reacted very, very positive to the self-lacing technology that I posted a little 20-second video on Facebook.
What do you think? If I don't want any spoiler alerts on it, but what do you think the Long Island Facebook sneaker of the year was?
A Yeezy.
Just the idea of a Yeezy in general. I will say one more note on this shoe, and then we can move on. Is that I would maybe argue for the inclusion of the Nike Vaporfly Next Percent over this, because to me that is just as much a performance shoe that really shifted the way we think about what shoes can do for athletes and what they should do for athletes and things like that. Like, it's probably a more legitimate performance shoe than this one is, based on the results that we've seen from it. A runner, and one close to my heart, because I did run in it a decent amount. Thank you.
2 hours and 25 minutes you ran it in.
Something around there. So,
not
so
confirmed,
I will say that,
but that's what we're sticking to.
But I do still think the Adapt BB is a totally valid inclusion.
Okay.
After that, we have number nine. Can someone pronounce the brand?
Ame Leon Dor.
Yeah.
New Balance 997s. Not including the 990 V2 or the 990 V5, right?
Those are the most recent ones, right?
Right.
No, this one was probably
this is better,
stronger.
Right?
Yeah.
How is Welty silent on this?
Come on.
I like it.
I like it. What?
No, I... Hold on. I don't have any.
Just, we're not on YouTube yet, but he just swiveled in his seat, so he's really
getting
ready.
Situated.
He's really ready to make a point. Go ahead.
I don't have any issue with the shoe at all. The only thing that's, I guess, not weird to me, but the one when we talk about collaborations, our personal list, I think it made it, was the Overkill ZX shoe that was like the three shoes with the mismatch.
Oh, I see where you're going with
this. This shoe, even though it was two different releases, I do, but this shoe was, I know it was two different releases, but it was kind of the same idea of like the two shoes with the mismatch.
You thought the Overkill thing executed that better?
Yes, and also there were like some people who kind of wanted to unveil that shoe.
Yeah, something you've alluded to here before.
Yeah, that's been said. I published it. It's not a big deal. But that may or may not be involved in, whatever things. But
we can agree that this Ame Leon Dor.
Definitely.
Shoe made more impact than
Overton. No, for sure.
And everyone on the panel, no one debated this. Everyone seems like this made their top 10.
Yeah.
There was no booing. There was no discussion on the panel at ComplexCon. And it translated to this office because
it's nice to see it, like, definitely, like, a shoe like that make the bunch. I remember Clark, I think, once again was arguing.
Hey, how many times you get to bring
no,
it up?
No, because we're talking about the panel.
Oh, you're right.
We're talking about the panel. I'm talking about the panel where he had mentioned the bodega.
Yes.
The bodega one, which was huge. Yes. I think, like, you know, you saw people like PJ Tucker wearing that in the NBA. Do you like that one too?
The 997S? I do. I don't think it's as good as this model. That's the thing. Like, ALD was able to do its thing on an OG model, which I think is almost always going to look better. Like, they just have the more straightforward 997 silhouette here, and that is worth more to me. And also, like, I just think that New Balance had a big year, and I think it would be wrong to not include a New Balance shoe somewhere on here to reflect how many people were fucking with New Balance in 2019. And I think that this is the best thing they did this year.
Yeah, it was a huge comeback. I think for them, it's funny because New Balance really hasn't even, like, changed much over the years, but they just put the pieces together better.
I'll say that the second best thing they did this year was bring back the 993, which I
one of your top 10. I don't know if you saw it in the Slack, but I forget how
Welty was Googling me.
Yeah, because I was trying to find...
Wait, the old picture?
No, well, I was trying to find an old story that he had written because we were talking about something, and I ended up finding this list from 2012 where it was Brendan Dunn's top 25 sneakers of all time.
I think top 20, which I did not want to do that list at all, but...
What was it, for the other company?
It was for a different website.
Okay.
Anyways, I did rank the New Balance 993 high there, and I stick by that. Also, I love this 997 that we're talking about now because it gives me a little bit of nostalgia. It's weird to say this in the same decade, but, like, for that 2013, 2012.
You sent Devin somewhere to pick up a pair?
Devin did no missions for these.
And also, New Balance 997, designed by Stephen Smith.
There you go.
Another person's been talked about a lot this year.
There you go. Just that era when all these retro runners were so hot, you know, when everybody was into whatever ASICS was doing, all those collabs, like all these suede and mesh runners, this just kind of brings me back to that part of the decade, which I thought was, a nice feeling.
That's always a great feeling, nostalgia. Yeah. Done. Kick it off for number eight.
Number eight, and I don't think I had as much sway on this list as you guys did. I was a little removed from this.
So was I,
watching from afar. So who do we blame if we don't like any of these picks? Is Wealthy the person we can blame in the room?
I'm not the person to blame. Sometimes I kind of just,
Zach and Ben.
Shout out to Zach.
Zach came through the holiday party in the LV drill. with the Moncler jacket.
I'm
a collector managing editor.
Yes.
I've learned to give way a little bit.
Okay, number eight.
Number eight is the Yeezy 380 Alien. I mean, I've been harping personally on the idea a lot that, like, Yeezy needs to make more silhouettes because we've seen the 350 so much. So I think this is kind of the solution to that, where it's like, finally, we have something new.
On the Sneaker of the Year panel, we actually had the black one, the black 350 V2.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And we actually had that one, I believe, on this list originally, and then at the end we were kind of like, you know what, let's just put the 380 instead.
Do you remember that we didn't put the Wave Runner on? Remember the Yeezy? We didn't. What was the one that we didn't left off? We left off a couple years ago.
I think it
was. And it turned out to be the best one.
When the Wave Runner. First
I think it was
out.
The Wave Runner.
Didn't we leave it off?
No, we put the Power Phase instead.
Yes.
Mistake.
That was a big mistake. And
in hindsight,
I'm admitting I was like, oh, I don't think the Wave Runner, I think the Power Phase is better. What a mistake that was.
You're taking responsibility for that?
100%. Do you remember that combo?
I remember it. No, but
I think this one's better. And the Power Phase.
No, and
let me tell you, even Jordan missed a few shots because that was a mistake. That was my mistake.
And I think at the time, though, that, like, I think I remember Russ Benson being like, fuck this shoe.
The Wave Runner.
Really?
Me and him, 70, it's 78 degrees. It's hot in here.
Balming.
Sorry. But I remember, to your credit, I'll give you credit, Welty. You were like, the Wave Runner is definitely the Yeezy that should be on this list this year.
Yeah.
And we fought it, and wow, we were wrong.
I think it's the best Adidas Yeezy of all time.
So do I.
The Wave Runner?
Yeah.
You might be right about that. One thing I want to say about the 380 Alien, how well is it going to age? I always worry about with the Yeezy stuff, especially because, like, it's another knit shoe, and I'm even thinking, like, knit shoes. We've been doing this since 2012 now when Nike introduced Flyknit. Like, is the knit shoe thing a trend that we're going to see go away for a while, or is this just here to stay because what it means for manufacturing?
I feel like it's just the one exception to the rule.
What
is? The Yeezys. Being to like nobody else wants knit shoes, but the Yeezy's the one knit shoe that
keep making them like that.
Yeah.
All right. Do either of you guys have the 380?
I don't
personally.
Oh, though? the one. I think we need to talk about
particular colorway that I would wear. But I'm not mad at the silhouette.
I think the one we need to talk about that was like the controversial knit shoe from the Sneaker of the Year panel was the Nice Kicks Ultra Boost.
Oh right.
Yeah, but the panel. Okay, the panel.
This is a ComplexCon.
The ComplexCon panel liked it. The audience didn't.
Yeah.
Welty is obsessed with this shoe.
No, I'm not obsessed with it. Come on.
How many different complex programming are you going to bring it up on?
No, but I think I just had to mention it.
He shoehorns this thing.
No, I think we just had to mention it because it was like part of the Sneaker of the Year discussion. I don't even want to talk about the shoe, but that was like in the one thing that I think is tough about the Sneaker of the Year panel versus Sneaker of the Year is we do it in first week of November.
And also the tough part is no one submits their list and then everyone complains and I'm there like holding the bag like, oh, well,
Clark Kent once again.
Clark Kent said that he couldn't get to six or seven of the year.
Which is interesting.
So, Welty, you don't want to talk about the Nice Kicks Ultra Boost? No, it's the first time this has ever happened.
Oh, wow. Wow. Nope. I just thought I had to mention it because of the reaction at the...
Do you think we ranked it too high there?
I wanted to get another Adidas shoe on the list.
Yeah, Payola.
No, but it's as we can agree though, I think one of the toughest things with making these lists is, you know, you want like all the best shoes, but you also want to have some sort of semblance of balance
for sure
on it. Like if you're like, oh, I love Air Jordan, and all of a sudden the list is, you know, nine Air Jordans and then nothing else, like you could maybe make that. You could maybe make it all Nike sneakers.
Yeah.
But I feel like that's not It's not the way to go about it.
It's not a reflection of what's really going on.
Yeah.
We're going to get to that point in a couple slots because there's a shoe on here that directly speaks to your point there.
Yeah.
Are you done talking about the Nice Kicks Ultra Boost?
No, I didn't want to talk about it. I was just wanted to.
No, I'm joking with you. I'm joking with you. Next shoe on the list. So we had the Yeezy 380 Alien at number 8. Joe, I need you to explain number 7. We talked about it already in the collaborations episode. You are obsessed with the shoe. I suspect your massive sway in this company is the only reason it's here. Number 7, the G-Dragon Air Force One, a shoe that Joe has. How many pairs of?
I said 3 pairs.
Lost track.
I know you were trying to finesse a pair of the Korea exclusive with the red swoosh.
I didn't get them. I'm trying, though. I'm definitely trying.
Desperately.
That shoe's worth like $4,000.
I know. Well,
this is the G-Dragon Air Force One. The black shoe wears away on
the
upper.
So to be fair, you know, I'm on record saying that it may have cracked my top 10, definitely
cracked.
Yeah, top 13. Okay. Top 13 to top 15. But, Welty, I wasn't in the Slack when this really got – this landed at number 7. Who else felt like that?
I think Ben Felderstein put it on
That's
the list.
That's my man. I like this shoe.
try and get a first-year bonus out of that one.
Again, I like the G-Dragon, the whole G-Dragon story that we talked about a couple podcasts ago. I think I am heavily into shoes – looking deconstructed right now. It started with the Mars Yard, 2 years ago at this point. And since then, the deconstructed, and you guys know me, like as many pair of sneakers that I have, I love wearing dirty sneakers.
Yes.
And I love wearing worn-in sneakers. And to the fact that you don't, I think Chris D'Elia on Sneaker Shopping, we were talking about the Lance Mountain. And he's like, dude, they're supposed to like rub off. He's like, I wear them all the time. They don't rub off. And these naturally rub off. And I really like that.
Funny story about your beaten sneakers. I remember you were well known for having
a Jordan 3.
Pair of Jordan 3s that you beat the hell out of. And I think they made the rounds on the internet. And
Who did that feature.
I'm not talking about that. I think they made their way to Tumblr just as kind of a viral image, right? And
something you put up on the mood board?
Yeah, no names. Someone saw the picture on Tumblr, grabbed the shoes, and I think posted it on Complex Sneakers, like Instagram or whatever. And you saw that the picture.
I was like, that was my shoe.
That was my shoe. Why the fuck are you posting pictures of my shoes without tagging me in it?
Well, listen.
You gotta level up the clout wherever.
When was that? That's embarrassing, Welty. Jeez.
This is
you got a blue check.
This is the 50th Street Joe LaPuma days where we had the corner office and would just come out and just fucking.
Who would I have yelled at about that though?
Do you want? Welty doesn't seem comfortable putting the name out there.
Someone who doesn't work here anymore.
Someone who doesn't work here because of that?
Here's what I would say.
No, works at a rival company.
Okay, here's what I would say. The only thing that I would say about that is maybe that they didn't realize it was my shoe, and like, how do you not know if you worked with me for those years?
How do you not know the exact contours of Joe LaPuma?
Well, I apologize to whoever that is. I'm an older, calmer man now.
Older for sure.
Yeah. So G-Dragon, number 7, I'm happy about it. For the reasons that I mentioned, I think, like we spoke about a couple weeks ago, fourth quarter, a lot of Air Force Ones dropped. This is definitely my favorite. I'm still beating the first pair I have, and then I have some other.
Does this have the impact?
But this is the whole, like, Nike SB kind of argument, I guess, or, like, the Supreme argument where it's, like.
I don't get it. What do you mean?
Where it's, like, you can't even name a G-Dragon song. And I'm not, like, holding that against you, but you can't. And it's, like. You get the Morrissey t-shirt, but you have no clue who Morrissey is. It's like the reason why
I didn't get the Morrissey shirt.
All right. Anyways, but people, I guess you're not a charming man, but but it's kind of like me personally, I don't have anything against G-Dragon. I just don't listen to his music.
Right.
So I don't want to get a G-Dragon sneaker.
Right.
Where it's like you'd see all these shoes like De La Soul Dunks or whatever. Right. And then it's like if you're not a fan of the group, should you get the shoe?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I mean, you said I can't name a G-Dragon song. I can name tons if you
act one. Google's a good friend, too.
Last Dance, 35.
Siri, help me.
Tell us your favorite G-Dragon bars in Korean.
Also intro.
Siri, bail me the fuck out. I want to move on to the next shoe. I think we've given the G-Dragon Air Force One enough airtime between this and the other episode. Next shoe we want to talk about, this is number 6 on Complex of Sneakers of the Year for 2019. A shoe we discussed elsewhere.
Yes.
And like we said, there's some overlap. The Travis Scott Jordan 6 collab. I believe this is another one that was left out of the panel at Complex.
This is what kind of Welty was talking about, how you always strive to have a balanced list. This was left off the list because people in this office, this was left off the ComplexCon panel list because people in this office felt that there should not be 2 Travis Jordan collabs on the list.
There's also people in the office that think that there should be like 4 Travis Scott sneakers on this list.
Fair.
No, but that's sort of, and it's not like throwing shade or anything, sort of I feel like the dynamic that we work in with sometimes, where it's like there's some of us that are kind of like, you know, maybe you want to see a balance, or maybe you're just not the biggest Travis Scott fan. And then you also work with, you know, a lot of the younger guys who Travis Scott's everything.
But so, I will tell you the audience reaction to this being left off, and even some jaded sneaker people who I talked to, sneaker friends, who I was discussing the list with, who they were like, oh, where's the Travis 6? I was like, oh, we left it off. They're like, you're wiling.
And really?
These are like high-level sneaker people.
Do you personally like that shoe?
I don't really love it compared to the other Travis collabs. I even like the Air Force Ones better. Not the recent Air Force Ones, the first ones.
I agree.
I'm not that big into this olive Jordan 6, but
my thing is like it's kind of in the same vein of the undefeated colorways, and those are always good. So the way it looks like that makes sense, and it's got this thing that's kind of semi-functional, not totally functional, but like the addition of the stash pocket on the side. I think like Travis Scott has been able to take liberties with Jordans, and I like that.
Sure.
And then people haven't felt too alienated by them, so I think that's a marker of the shoe success.
I kind of don't like the pocket on it because you call it a stash pocket, but I always feel like stash pockets were always like they're a little more discreet on a shoe, where it's like it's stuffed in somewhere, or it's on the lining, or it's on the tongue, or something like that. Where this literally it has like cargo pants pockets on the side of it.
You can't actually hide anything.
No.
Hidden in plain sight.
That audience reaction, though,
that let us know that
they crucified.
No, I get it. I know that like these are the shoes that are gonna hit with the kids. You know, like I can't look past that. I can't be so out of touch that like I don't understand that a Travis Scott 6 is a top 10.
It's the kids who are out of touch.
Yeah. No, I mean I totally get it. It's just I guess maybe me personally in my head I'm kind of like doesn't do it for me, but I understand why.
But we could all agree that this.
In terms of impact, it's a high-ranking sneaker in terms of impact.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High-quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I think they did not ruin the Jordan 6, which is always a risky run when you're taking design liberties with the shoe. I think the colorway makes sense. The materials are nice. Funny story, I actually have two pairs at my desk.
Really? One legit? Go ahead. Sorry. Spoiler alert. My bad.
One from Jordan Brand. Thank you to the good people at Jordan Brand for sending me those. Number two was one that I inherited from a coworker who shall not be named. Yeah.
That we've already named in the podcast.
Yes, and that has... It was the biggest deal that... Go ahead.
Finish. He got... in the mail from a reselling platform that we will not name.
Yes.
A gift of a pair of Travis Scott Jordan
6s. Nice gesture.
Yeah, you know, it's the thought that counts, I guess.
Yeah.
People were examining them because some things seemed a little off.
They were very far off. It wasn't even
very,
like the box.
Very far. The box.
You were talking about the box. I was 10 feet away, and the suede was non-existent.
Yeah. You could smell, like, the fakeness on the
really
shoe.
Bad.
Yeah.
The box is
super
really bad.
Super duper boo-boo. Yeah.
But long story short, he hit up the company who sent it to him. The PR girl felt bad about it.
They got a Jordan.
Somehow he got the Travis Scott Jordan 1s pro bono out of it.
I thought I saw him post another gift from that company, so they must have felt really bad. But yeah,
but so those are sitting at my desk. I don't know what we should do with them. You know, we need to set them on fire.
There's also
it'll be in a cold open for full size.
There's also another Travis Scott sneaker that actually got unveiled today, that React 270, that probably isn't coming out before the end of the year. But that's
Travis Scott.
It's probably something we'll be talking about. Maybe, I don't know, next year. Maybe not.
I'm sure we'll have plenty of time for it. Are we happy with the Travis Scott 6s landing in an appropriate 6?
Not a personal favorite, but I understand why it makes the list.
Same. Yeah. I'm totally cool with it. And I think that this shoe, going forward, is going to have us rethink these lists, honestly.
And you also saw Offset wearing the yellow.
Yes.
Yeah.
This Travis 6, I'm going to remember this one next year when, if there's a two-time collaborator who is on the bubble for their shoes to make it twice on this list, this is a good example to point back to. Well, you know, last year Travis 6s and Travis 1s could have been on it, and we left it off for whatever reason.
Next shoe on the list, another collaboration. You know, I'll keep saying some of the stuff there's overlap with. Welty's shaking his head. I don't know if he's mad at this.
We went in a lot on
happened,
this on the other one, but
number five on the Complex Sneakers of the Year list for 2019, Cactus Plant Vapor Max.
Totally where it should be for me. I think that's perfect. I know Welty.
I don't like that shoe at all.
Yeah. Well, defend it.
Why?
Defend your stance, yeah.
It's a very of the moment shoe.
Very of the moment shoe. I guess, like, we're talking about collaborations with artists. If I don't believe in the brand, collaborating on it, it's fucking smiley faces with, like, four eyes and.
I like it.
This is built for you to hate.
Yeah, that's what it is. This is a matter of taste.
For Welty to hate, specifically. Uh-huh.
This is that.
And I don't like the Vapor Max.
2014, me and Welty in the room.
I don't like the Vapor Max. I don't like the Vapor Max 2019 either. But the funny part is, in the back of my head, now that I'm thinking about it, this is probably more the style of the shoe that I would have been, like, caping for back in those days. Because I feel like back in, like, 2013, you were all, like, retro basketball, like, faux high fashion shoes, like
Balenciaga Arena.
Yeah,
I didn't say
Joe's like trying to get like a Y3 sneaker on the list. Like
that happened.
was it, unless it was that Y3 Prime, that Y3 Prime knit.
There was definitely moments where like, dude, but you don't know how sick these look with leather pants. And I'm like, dude, I don't own leather pants.
He's lying. The picture that he's painting me out to be is crazy. Anyway, we spent a lot on this topic, on this shoe.
Yeah, I don't want to go back over it too much, but I do.
Do you like it?
I don't like it, but I understand its impact, and I think it was a big shoe. The ranking is a little high for me because, like I said, I'm still like confused about Cactus Plant as a whole, and I think that the shoe may not age particularly well. You know, that shouldn't necessarily dock it for 2019's ranking because we're talking about this year and this moment. But even the VaporMax itself as a silhouette hasn't aged great. Like, it's already lost a lot of its luster because of the way they milked it, which you got to do that type of stuff. But
I think Andre 3000 was wearing them with that picture.
And I liked it. That's
in the picture with Rick Rubin the other day.
What I would say about that, just to end it here, Andre killed it, I thought. I like that fit. He had the hoodie on. And when I put these on, you know when like you put them on and you're like, do I really love this shoe? And then you don't put it on for like 2 or 3 weeks, and then you put it on again, and you're like, I really fuck with these shoes.
Yeah.
Every time I put these on and every time I wear them, whether it's for an episode or just to chill, I really like these shoes.
It has like a pipe cleaner. It has like a swoosh.
Number 4 shoe on the list, a retro Air Jordan. I feel like these lists contain less and less straight retros, which is good, and I feel like it's almost an indicator of the idea that just a retro is not enough anymore. Yeah. So I'm glad we've kind of moved away from that. Number 4, a fitting, an Air Jordan 4, the black cement pair. You know what is kind of embarrassing to admit? I totally forgot that these came out this year.
Four pairs.
I am embarrassed because these came out in May, and I as we were prepping for this episode, I was like, what the fuck? I didn't buy them. What was I doing?
Well, it also
for
the shows longest. Sorry, you go ahead.
No, it shows how much recency bias plays in these lists as well.
For the longest time, the black that we just talked about, the black 3 cement that I would beat up, that was my favorite Jordan of all time. In probably the past 2-3 years, this black red 4 has turned into my favorite Jordan of all time. The black cat 4 is a close second, which is coming back. Can't wait for those. This, to me, every year, every time it releases, I'm going to have multiple pairs. I don't think I've even worn them yet from this year, but this is my favorite Jordan of all time.
I'm ashamed that I wasn't paying attention or convinced myself that I didn't want to spend the money. You know, I have some old pairs with the Jumpman on the back, so this is important because they did the Nike Air on the back. And to me, that just like reminds me so much of when you first get into sneakers, and that shoe was so coveted, and it was so... Yes. You know, about why Nike Air was important, and this is finally happening.
And that suede when it gets beat up.
I think that's why the shoe's good, even though it's not a shoe that I'll personally wear. It's I can admit that this is a good retro.
Yeah.
Like it's if you talk about retros, and you know, I was discussing it the other day where it's like for a lot of people who don't remember, you know, who maybe got into sneakers in the past few years, you're kind of lucky because you know, 10 plus years ago, retro shoes were really fucking bad.
Yeah, we were talking about this.
If you look back at retros from, you know, 10 years ago, it's like the materials were crap, the shape wasn't right, the logos weren't right. Like, I remember, like, Nike was releasing Agassiz that didn't have the tennis ball on the back, and it's just like, what the fuck?
What's going on here?
Yeah, you know, and now it's like you're actually doing the shoe, you know, justice. But the one thing, too, that I thought was the most ridiculous thing on the Sneaker of the Year panel besides the BB was people's trying to wonder, getting mad that the Cool Gray 4 wasn't on the top 10 Sneaker of the Year list.
You just brought that up off
pod. And multiple people were complaining that shoe wasn't on the list.
It doesn't need to be on there. I mean, listen, we left off a lot of Jordan heat.
Yeah.
It was even crazy to go back and reflect on what Jordan did this year in terms of
retros.
Yeah,
he wrote a piece about it.
Yeah. They released the black and red 11s. They released the black and infrared 6s.
Yes.
And they released the black and red 4s. Are you kidding?
Like, I know. Banner year. How jaded are we that
that, and then you're going to try to cape for the Cool Gray 4s?
Yeah, so I love the Cool Gray 4.
I like them too, but those three.
They're in my rotation. I wear them regularly, but there are a lot of Jordans we would put on this list before we put the Cool Gray 4 on it. And I will say that the high-ranking straight retro model of the black cement Jordan 4 at number 4 here, I think, is the right decision.
I want to, real quick, we'll get in and out. Does the Black Cat 4 in this conversation? How close is it? For me personally, the Black Hat 4 is right.
I don't like
from an iconic level that a Black and Red 4 is, but from a personal standpoint, the Black Hat 4 in my collection is right near.
But this is what I'm talking about. Like, this is like the argument I always used to have. It's like, I hate all black sneakers. So okay. No matter like what, like it yeah. is like, no, but you're going to like be like, this shoe's awesome because you love all black sneakers. Right. And I don't like all black sneakers at all. So it's like, we're never going to see eye to eye on it.
What about done in the scope of Black Cat 4? Is it even in the same conversation as those iconic?
I don't think so. And okay. I really want a pair. And I can't wait. I want a pair too. I know that to me, that's one of the like Joe LaPuma signature shoes.
I always all black and all white shoes always brings me back to Staten Island Bros getting all white.
I can't wear white.
No, but it's honestly. Either all white or all black, like Air Max 90s, if they were going down 100%. The shore for the weekend.
I feel very Jersey Shore-esque when, or Staten Island, or Long Island, when I wear
all white.
Full-blooded Italian dude wearing all white
with like
sneakers.
With like a tracksuit, all white sneakers.
It just feels, I'm telling you, it feels weird to me.
Glad I don't have any of that stigma. I randomly that. All white Air Max 90 anniversary edition. I really want those. Those look tough. One more thing on the Jordan note. I think we should mention, nowhere close to making the list in terms of best sneakers, but the Jordan 34, quite nice.
Yes.
And there was people that were complaining about Zion Williamson not signing to Puma and getting an ugly-ass basketball sneaker to play in, which was kind of weird.
Ugly-ass basketball sneaker meaning the Jordan 34?
Yes.
Come on. Next shoe on the list. This is another one that I think is too high. I'm happy to debate it with you guys. Number three on the best sneakers of 2019. Off-white MCA, the blue Air Force Ones.
So we had this at number five on the Complex Con list. I think it's more suited at number five than number three.
Yeah.
And I think that, yeah, it's only two spots.
But
difference.
Isn't this a shoe that you love, though?
I don't know. Not in the top three, I don't think.
The thing to me is, like, it's not a lot of new ideas. So... The shoe?
Yeah, like I put the cactus plant for me personally I would flip these on the Complex list.
I think we did have it, and then we were just kind of like in the Slack channel. We were kind of like
high.
The cactus is whack, so it's
three
just
is high for a Air Force One in a awesome color though. That's the thing.
But here's
awesome
the thing:
color.
It doesn't really introduce anything new. This colorway was first done at Complex Con in 2017.
The white pair,
and then there was the MoMA pair, the black pair. Now I think the Chicago one. This is in connection with the art museum there, where Virgil had the big exhibit.
Didn't they release at Complex Con too?
They did. Oh,
two pairs. Two pairs.
The blue one. Yes.
The two pairs
in Complex Con. Chicago, that's
two pairs. Two pairs.
Anyway. But you know, there's just not enough new here. Although I love the Chicago connection because of Virgil, I just think like this shoe didn't do enough different to really be so high.
I would say not enough new.
But it looks great.
Not enough new for number three, but I think five is a good place for it. And again, what we talked about, he did 10 shoes where you could argue 8 out of 10 were awesome game changers, and then maybe the converse in the first flight of the 10, and then for this is what now two years later that this is on the list.
Yeah,
from the 10, that blue and the silver swoosh, perfect colorway on a model that we just talked about, G-Dragon. This is, you know, this is four spots higher than the G-Dragon. It's a great colorway.
Do you think the Virgil stuff's getting old?
I like that he's doing new stuff now. Like, it's about time for him to do something different than the 10.
I don't think the off-white dunks. I want the Michigan ones, and I got the.
But that's something. But that's something new.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, I don't think Virgil in general, his ideas are getting old because they're different ideas now. The things that these dunks are proposing are different than the things that the 10s are proposing. I still want to know exactly why the dunks look the way they do. They didn't have the kind of backstory attached to them that the initial 10 did. You know, when the 10 first came out, I'm off on a tangent here that I promise I'll close soon, but there was a lot of background from Nike on why those shoes looked that way. I've seen a lot less of that with respect to the dunks.
He hasn't really got interviewed about it,
you
or explained it. Yeah, I like him.
Virgil's also at the point too where he kind of like doesn't need to explain himself anymore. You know what I mean?
I showed you that these showed up yesterday.
I need 408. An explanation.
He also
408 LV. I'm gonna rock these.
Bro. I was telling you should do the drop top on him, man. Like cut him.
I'm not gonna cut him, but
Steve Caballero.
I gotta figure it out.
We have two more shoes left on the list. We want to talk about
before we go into this. Do you have the list here of which shoes besides the there were other shoes from the, besides the Nice Kicks that didn't make the list.
I don't have Daybreak. Those runner-ups.
Daybreak
handy.
Didn't make.
Okay, Undercover Daybreak,
which I loved. They were in my top 10 for sure.
I think that's the only other one.
And we spent a lot of time on those, but I the Daybreaks, I was just looking
and
through
the
my
Black
Instagram.
In the Black Yeezy.
Yeah, the Black Yeezy. Yeah, I was looking through my Instagram from this year. I wore a different pair of Daybreaks multiple times.
You see that shoe, it's not a bad thing, but you see that shoe so much in the office.
It's everywhere. Any other ones we want to talk about before we get to these top two?
I don't think so. I think we're ready for the top two. I think, unfortunately, everyone knows what the top two is. Yeah. But
and, you know, the same disclaimer that I've said multiple times, there are models we've covered elsewhere because they are collaborations. Number two, we picked the Travis Scott Jordan 1. And then number one, we picked the Sakai LD Waffles. Are we happy with that?
I'm definitely happy with it. The one thing I was surprised about is how split from the Travis ones and the Sakai, where one and two, those jockeying for those positions, where some people really thought that the Travis should be one and the Sakai should be two and vice versa. I think the Travis one is an awesome shoe. I think anytime you take on the Jordan one, it's very risky. And
it's risky, but it's also a layup.
I don't know I don't know. I think it's more risky that people be like, "Wow, you're kind of
it's bastardizing."
You're retooling one of the most iconic silhouettes
also,
of all time.
It's like bowling with the bumpers on, man.
I don't know. I don't know though.
Cheat code.
A brown and white colorway, like
escape type.
I give him a little more credit than
that. It's so easy to knock it out of the park, though. Like, it is easy to you could fuck it up.
Yeah, but how many Jordan 1s have came and went that have been not good? A lot. Welty, think of, like, besides the iconic colorways, think of how many Jordan 1s released in the past few years that have came and went. I think there's a ton. Yeah. I think there's a ton. Like, people love the Gatorade Jordan 1s. Like, there's been so many that have released.
Which isn't a good shoe.
That's what I'm saying, dude.
But people still like them.
I didn't like that. But I'm just saying that was only one. I don't want to just point out the Gatorade ones. But you go to these consignment stores and you see how many colorways.
I'm so tired of, like, the fandom around the Jordan 1 at this point.
Yeah,
like,
you do have a vendetta against this.
Real
quick, this is one of many models that Wealthy has, like, this whole...
That's crazy to me, though.
I think it's a great shoe, but there's so many, like, kids on Instagram who try to buy, like, every single colorway of the shoe, and all they do is fucking take photos on their Instagram to rack up the likes where they have those cutout fucking closets or whatever, and, like, do the fucking Roy G. Biv of the...
Can I tell you something, though? I will tell you. And this shit's corny, bro. This is some behind the scenes of sneaker shopping stuff. I would love to not, and Alejandro, who's to my right, could attest to this. I would love to not start many episodes at the Jordan 1 when celebrities come on set and we start talking about, you know, that we kind of build some like short pre-production, you know, where they always want to start, you know, where they always say that their favorite shoe is the Jordan 1.
But to me, that's the argument where it's like, the Jordan 1 is like the most one of the most iconic shoes, and I'm not blaming for people for, you know, not liking. Not getting super nerdy into it or whatever, but it's also a little bit of like, I got into sneakers. This is like the beginner, you know, I'm into shoes sneaker. We're like, I need to get Jordan 1s. That's how people kind of prove, or it's like the first step along the way of like, I'm a sneaker guy. I need to get like black and red ones. You know, like you see that like a lot.
Yeah, I will say all these are valid points. And I think that's why the Sakai deserves the slot over the Travis Scott Jordan ones. Because if you kind of consider, I think we can all agree that how hot these shoes are is relatively even. The Sakai LD Waffle and the Travis Scott Jordan 1, you know, they're about the same level of interest, you know, same level of like a hype beast attachment to them. But the Sakai did a lot with less.
The level of difficulty to create.
Exactly. Like Travis Scott, we always talk about how if you have a big name attached to a shoe, it's going to help it so much more. Travis Scott is going to add way more cachet than Sakai. So Sakai just has to do that much more work. And in addition to that, from a silhouette standpoint, nobody cares about the LD Waffle.
They created a new shoe.
Exactly. Yes. Nobody cares about these old like running shoes, really. LDV, Waffle Daybreak, you know. So Sakai just had so much more work to do.
So good. Such a good shoe.
That's why it's the shoe of the year to me. It just worked harder for it.
Definitely. And that's why even though I think Travis does deserve the number two spot.
Sure.
I think the level of the number one, the Sakai and Travis, I think there's kind of it's not close in my mind.
But and I think that this is what kind of summed it up for me on sneaker shopping. I remember when you had Blake Griffin talking about the two shoes, and it's trust me, it's no shots or whatever. But I imagine Blake being a much more pop cultural, guy in the sneakers and picking that shoe. And I
picking which shoe?
The Travis over the Sakai, and I get why the Travis has like that much more like mainstream
appeal.
pop cultural like NBA like tunnel fashion. Look, and so many people are if you probably polled people, I feel like more people would say that the Travis Scott Jordan 1 is the sneaker over the year over the Sakai LD Waffle.
I think
Fat Joe did say to us, though, that
if Fat Joe's word is not to be trusted, then I don't know who's exactly. Fat Joe said
What else did he tell you?
Fat Joe told me a lot. Fat Joe left me a wiser man. You know what? I will say I am kind of personally biased toward the Sakai LD Waffle 2 because it's like some real shoe dog shit in terms of like old runners. This is Bill Bowerman type shit. You know what I mean?
And again, another thing.
Waffles on bottom.
The deconstructed trend that I've been talking about. It's like.
Yeah, it's part of this ongoing conversation about like kind of moving the brand and how people can be more liberal with Nike's iconic branding. So, I mean, the Travis Scott is in that same conversation, but.
But like you're saying, if you put Travis Scott, the most popular rapper at this moment with the Air Jordan 1, the most popular sneaker at this moment, and it's like obviously you could fuck it up, but you understand why the appeal of that shoe would be higher.
It's
a layup, literally.
Absolutely.
So I think there's one thing we need to bring up real quick though.
Okay.
One of our personal favorites that didn't make the list.
That's tough for me just because the Daybreak was on my list, so I'm going to sit this one out.
Well, no, but you can put that as that.
Yeah, the Daybreak, I love the Daybreak. Again, it was, to me, I keep saying it, it was like a GR that had a little bit more of a cool factor added to it. The way I wore it is definitely like a GR. I wore it so many days, and I wore multiple colorways of it, and the fact that it was still on the shelves up until, it still may be on the shelves at some select boutiques, and you could just go and grab it.
Mm-hmm.
I loved it. And that would be one that is definitely in my personal top 10 that didn't make the complex list, but did make the complex con list.
Yeah.
I will say the next percent. Like I said before, such a true performance model and a real example of Nike innovation to the point where people are trying to ban it and are upset by how much it assists the athlete, which is, of course, the central goal of all these things. And it's one that I have an emotional and personal connection to after running in them so much. I think it's exactly what a brand should be doing in 2019. That's one for me.
I think I wrote a story about it earlier in the year, Adidas ZX 10,000. I thought it was cool that they designed all these shoes in 1989.
Mm-hmm.
They brought back the original designer to be like, hey, if you had the chance to go back and design what the next shoes in the series would have looked like if you had to release the next year and make it new, but also make it retro and like time accurate. I thought that was actually a really cool thing to do.
Yeah, we had one other actually. Joe and I were talking about, should we say the shoe we wore the most this year? Because I feel like sometimes there's discrepancy in what's good and what's actually on our feet.
I know what mine was.
I mean, yours was workout lows.
Mine definitely is the Bait Reebok workout low. I mean, I have like four pairs. I'm happy that I found one more like pristine pair because all mine are just like toast from how much I wear the shoe. Joe, what shoe did you wear the most?
The number one, the Sakai Nike. The
really?
Blue one,
the Over blue the Daybreaks, though?
Yeah.
You wear those just all the time?
The blue ones are totally beat.
Your black pair's been...
The blue ones are totally beat, and the black ones are now totally beat.
Welty, what shoe did you wear the most in 2019?
I think... I don't think it was a specific shoe, but I got like every single one of those Adidas ZX Thousands models, and they sent me like... I have like 10, 12 pairs, and it just rotates in between like different colorways of those.
You were stuck on that. Gotcha.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Listen, this is the last podcast before the end of the year. This is the Merry Christmas podcast, right?
Yeah, we're coming back in 2020, unlike some other podcasts.
New Year's resolution? What are you doing? Whoa. What are you doing?
Sorry.
What?
Well,
we can run it back.
This is the Christmas week podcast.
Sorry, guys.
This is going to run Christmas week. We hope that everyone catches up on the older podcast if you haven't listened yet and enjoy this one. And it's our sixth episode. We can't thank you guys enough for the good feedback that we've gotten so far. We wish everyone happy holidays.
Yeah, whichever holiday you celebrate.
Absolutely. And we will see you guys in the new year. every Friday, 6 a.m., wherever you consume podcasts. Merry Christmas, happy holidays, and thanks for rocking with us until this point.
Let us know who you want to see on the pod next year.
Yeah, yeah. Next decade.
Take care.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.